Welcome to G.L. Horton's Stage Page. Today is the 12th of November, 2006. Geraldine is leaving me. She's returning home to Ohio. For several days at least, just long enough for my bachelor lifestyle to totally trash the house. She left a few parting words.
I'm sitting here with Geraldine Horton, the playwright whose works we celebrate in this podcast. Geraldine, I understand you're getting on a jet plane tonight.
That's true. I'm going to Columbus, Ohio, and my traveling companion will be Alex, who's 16 years old, and going to visit his Ohio girlfriend. That's a long story, which isn't really my place to get into, but he hasn't made a trip of this sort by himself yet, and so I said, we'll go together. And he will understand then how you deal with getting on planes and getting off at airports and changing planes and finding a taxi and that kind of thing. I, however, am going to visit Ohio State University while I'm in Columbus and see the wonderful Professor Alan Woods, who is part of the Lawrence and Lee Institute and teaches theater there. And he is also a wonderful friend and sponsor to the International Center for Women Playwrights. We have an annual retreat at OSU, which I've found just amazingly inspiring. I get so much from interacting with the other women playwrights from around the country and around the world who are there, and from Alan and his enthusiasm for our work, which is archived at Ohio State Lawrence and Lee Institute's theater library. I can go there and visit my plays in their little boxes. And one of the things that happens with those plays is that Alan teaches a course. I believe it's a course for non-theater majors, and I'll know much more about it when I come back from this trip. But so far, I understand that the students are developing their understanding of theater sort of from the inside out. They pick a play from this collection of original manuscripts and decide how they would go about it if they were actually producing it. And they have various things, activities that they do, which shows how the conventions of theater production and marketing and performance and criticism work. And the artifact that I've seen so far is a flyer for the season, which includes, in theory, my play. And has a design and a little blurb about it.
So they have your play and you're going to be going there talking to them about your play? And
well, this, I don't know whether this is a custom thing that would happen with anybody who'd happen to live in the area. But since I'm coming, I asked. I was already signed up to have a telephone or online interview with the young man who's studying my play in particular. And that's going to now take place while I'm in Columbus rather than as the previous time they studied a play of mine, which wasn't last year but the year before. We did it on the telephone and he was taping it, and then he wrote a paper on what he learned about my play through interviewing the still living playwright. Anyway, so I will be talking to the student while I'm there, but I'm also going to attend a class Thursday morning where they're wrestling with the script. They've been reading it aloud, apparently. Not with perfect ease and comprehension, but sort of working their way through. And they're going to ask me questions about anything that's come up that doesn't make sense to them. And hopefully they'll give me some good advice. I suppose I should talk a little bit about what play this is and why it seems to me to be a really good choice to study in a theater class, even though it's not a play that's been produced, and heaven only knows if it ever will be produced. It's called Boston's Brothers in Liberty, and it's a play about the Boston Massacre and, in general, about the run-up to the American Revolution.
And it shows our forefathers basically as a bunch of terrorists.
Well, that's a little bit exaggerated, but it does concentrate not on the Founding Fathers or anybody you've ever heard of. I think Sam Adams is mentioned. He's still left off stage. It's about dock workers and tavern keepers and people who are competing with soldiers for money and
women.
And jobs, because I never knew this before I started doing the research. Apparently, the soldiers could run around and hire themselves out to the local shopkeepers and the populace at large to do odd jobs and the like, any craft that they had, on their hours when they weren't actually soldiering. So they drove down the cost of labor and, of course, the embargoes that were set up to try to make the American colonies government get in line with the policies that the British government was instituting in order to pay for the French and Indian War, which the British government felt very strongly was fought on behalf of the Americans, who would have all been slaughtered and pushed into the sea if the army hadn't come over and protected them against the Indians and shown them how to fight. Those policies had pretty much shut down America's international trade, which was its support of jobs and money. Anyway, that's kind of the background of the play, which is a background that you'd think college students would be sort of uniquely poised to investigate, and they would get something out of, make their studies in this thing, especially the things they had to learn in high school, kind of dramatically come alive for them while they're thinking about how they relate to individual people's lives, the characters in this play.
I always, when I was in college anyhow, I felt it was good to have a link between any two classes that courses, that is, that might be otherwise seem quite disparate. Having a link between work that I'm doing in a theater course and work that I'm doing in a history course would give me considerable extra insight and occasionally get me a passing grade.
It's my impression that the young man who's doing this as a project that I'm going to be talking to is a business major in marketing. And of course, how do you make something that bored everybody silly in high school an exciting subject for an ad campaign that would fill the seats in the theater? And it's something I would like to learn, so I may learn more than I teach when I go off for this experience. But I'm really looking forward to it. I'm from Ohio. Originally, I was born in Toledo. I went to Ohio University rather than Ohio State. Ohio is a small school, and it's what would in other systems be called the state school rather than being named for the state. Here we have Mass State Universities, or the smaller ones in the system. But in Ohio, it's Ohio State, the Ohio State University. That's the big, prestigious one. And I went to the small one in Athens, Ohio. Anyway, connecting with this, when we were on campus living in the dorms and having pajama parties every night and reading our plays, we'd write in the morning, and then in the afternoon we'd have some kind of a presentation. And then we would come back in the early evening, and some actors from the area would read what we had written in the last day or two, and then we'd have feedback sessions on it, and people would make suggestions for making the work better. Although I belong to a writer's group and participate in this process with maybe 50, 60 people and have for years, this concentrated version that we had at Ohio State under Alan Woods was thrilling, because you could make the change on the spot, hear the changes read, hear your next scene read, and really feel like you were on the way to communicating to other human beings rather than it just being between you and your computer and voices in the air that you're gathering up.
Well, with this class, it sounds like you'll be talking to members of the audience.
You'll
be talking to members of the cast and crew, the producer, the director, the person who's setting out the flyers.
Well, they're not actually going to do this, but they're performing as if they were going to do this. They're thinking about these things, and they'll be sharing that. And it's young people. Since I stopped teaching at Northeastern, I've really kind of broken my connection with young people. And yet in my monologue writing, which is the part of my work that's most performed, it's young people I'm mostly writing for, people who are in high school or college or just starting out in their theater careers. And now I'm going to actually have some contact with these people as a group. And I think this will be very invigorating. But going back to the thing of actually feeling like you're communicating, this play in particular, it's almost 30 years old. This was originally conceived under Ellen Stewart, who's the famous inspiration and maintainer of La Mama Theater in New York City. It was part of the big movement in the 60s towards having a different kind of American theater, which was produced in small spaces and faced towards Europe and had new theatrical techniques and new voices. And she came to Boston in 1976. I assume it was the bicentennial year. I don't understand why else this particular inspiration would be. And although I kept some notes, of course I didn't date them, and I don't really remember exactly when I started on this play. But it was her idea. Ellen Stewart came into Boston and decided that what this group of playwrights that she was going to do a workshop on would be the Boston Massacre. And we would all write plays about the Boston Massacre in varying styles and with particular elements in it that she chose or she encouraged people to choose rather arbitrarily. They weren't exactly put in a hat, but it was pretty close to that. You know, there are a couple of characters in my play who are related to each other in a specific way, not because I figured that was the best way to write a play, but because that was one of the tennis nets set up for this particular exercise we were going to do in playwriting. She had Patrick Swanson, who is still an active and very talented director in this area, who was going to direct these pieces if what we came out of the workshop with was in any way production worthy. And Ellen, with her genius for fundraising, was going to show us how to get the thing put on. Well, that part didn't work out. And because I had written this historically researched, ambitious, multi-character play with a rather demanding set, written in the sense that I had sketches for scenes, and I had some real scenes, and I had ideas, and I had characters, but I didn't really have a first draft, just what would have been a first draft. I kind of put it in a drawer, and I took it out once somewhere in the 25 or 30 years between that point and now. And then last year I decided, well, this has become a timeless play. The things I'm interested in about the founding of our country and how the people put themselves together an interpretation of what was happening to them and demanded some kind of self-government that would give them a chance to feel that they had some control over what was happening to them was still interesting to me, probably would still be interesting to other people, and that I should finish this play and start sending it around. So I did finish this play. I talked about it in the playwrights retreat 2 years ago and did some work on it there, and then I came home and wrote the thing and had a reading of it at Playwrights Platform, which was very well received. And now I'm beginning to think about sending it around and trying to find some theaters that will produce it. And if people talking to me at Ohio State University can give me some inspiring feedback, I will do another draft after I come home from this event. And I hope to come home affirmed in my notion that this is a pretty interesting play that somebody ought to do. The title of the play is Boston's Brothers in Liberty.
Well, that's it for this week. Next week, I expect we'll hear about the trip, and perhaps she'll have managed to record something interesting for us to listen to. Until then, please visit her website. That's www.stagepage.info to read her monologues, one-act, and full-length plays. Boston Brothers in Liberty hasn't been added yet, but will be soon. Until next week.